I'm excited about where we're headed. So let me pray, and then we'll get right into the sermon. God, I thank you for who you are. I pray you would come and teach us today. Help us to be open to you in a new way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this week I was thinking back to one of my favorite subjects when I was in elementary school and middle school and high school, and that was science. And the thing I loved about science class was that you got to do experiments. And so they, you know, sometimes didn't quite go the way you planned, but they'd give you, you know, weird chemicals, or you'd get to light Cheeto Puffs on fire, or you'd get to do little rocket ship things and stuff. They mess with magnets and stuff. There were always interesting things, I thought, and they kind of had a magical element to them. You were going to put two things that seemed like everyday things together, and something special was going to happen. Some sort of, you know, truth of the universe was going to get shown, you know, by bumping these marbles together or whatever was going to happen. So experiments were always fun, I thought, because it was this chance to learn something new and to try something new. And our series leading up between now and Easter is actually going to be all focused on hopefully inspiring you all to do some experiments in your own life. So our series is called Open Hands, and it's going to be an experiment in Lent. Now, I'm not a good speller, but I didn't misspell that last word there, Lent. I'm not talking about Lent with an I, that is like the stuff at the bottom, you know, of your pockets. So we're talking about Lent with an E, which is something that a lot of different churches in Christianity, it's a tradition that they have. And put real simply, it's this idea of giving up something in preparation for Easter. It's typically done for about 40 days, and so we're right in that season right now. So this idea of Lent and giving something up for God is actually based on an even older tradition, and that's fasting. And fasting is something we see people all through the Bible, people have done for thousands of years. And traditionally, when people talk about fasting, what they mean is they give up food, or at least certain food items, as a way to open up to a better connection with God. And it's something that Jesus himself did when he was here on earth. Luke chapter 4, talking about Jesus right before he starts his ministry, it says, Jesus, I want you to really pay attention to the second word. There'll be a test here in a minute. So Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And then verse 2 says, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. We're going to talk about that tempting. We're going to talk about that in the coming weeks. But then it says he ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. So if you're following with that, 40 days, he's out in the wilderness, and he doesn't eat anything. Now, some of you might be thinking, I didn't even know it was physically possible to go 4 hours without food. You know, and so 40 days. And the idea that he was hungry seems like a huge understatement. Of course he was hungry. It'd been 40 days. He was literally starving by the end of that period. So why did Jesus do that? Why would Jesus not eat and be alone in the wilderness? Well, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, led him to that place, and that this was the formation period for him right before he starts his ministry. This is a special time alone with God. Now, here's our test moment. What was that word I told you guys to remember? Full. Okay, because when you read those two verses, it's easy to think Jesus was empty of food. But the thing the Bible tells us is that he was full of the Holy Spirit. So even though he let go of food, he was full of the Holy Spirit. Now, don't get me wrong. Food's not evil. Food's not bad. Later on in the same gospel, Jesus thanks God for food. And at another point, he talks about these people need food or they're going to be physically hurt. So he does a miracle to provide food. So food's not evil. God's given us food. It's a gift. But even things that are good, if you set them down for a little while, you can open up to God in a new way. And so this idea of Open Hands, this series, is what if we let go of something in our life, even just for a week, and opened that up to God in a new way. Now, that might sound kind of weird or strange, or maybe like, I don't know how I would do Lent or give something up and replace it with something else. But we kind of already did that together as a group. So this morning, if you're used to coming to Maywood, if you've been here even just 2 or 3 weeks, you know that we almost always start our service with 4 or 5 worship songs. And the worship team was really creative for this series, and they said, what if we did things differently? And so for this week, they said, what if we don't sing as much? I mean, singing worship songs is about as good of a thing as you can do with your time. I mean, that's a really good thing. But they said, what if we don't do that this one week, and instead we get to know some of our team members? We get to know some of the people around us, because that's also a good thing. And so 51 weeks out of the year or whatever, we'll sing songs for the first half of service. But this one week, we got to meet a couple new folks. And it's not that we gave up something bad, it's that we gave up something good to open up space and experiment with it and see what was God going to do if we open up things in a different way. So all through today when we're talking, think for yourself, what could I let go of just as an experiment? Maybe it's something bad that you really need to just throw away from your life, but maybe it's something you just need to just set down just for a little while so your hand can be open, okay? So I like to lean on other people when I need help, and this sermon is one that I need help with, so I'm actually asking Amanda Monk, to come up and help me finish this sermon. So the reason I asked for Amanda's help is Amanda has some stories about Lent, okay? And so can you tell us, how did you first get started with Lent?
Okay, good morning. Okay, so our first Lent was in 2009, and I didn't even know what Lent was, and we had came to church, and they talked about giving something up for 40 days to prepare for Easter. And I was like, man, I'd given up a lot of things that, of course, were very bad for me, but I hadn't given up smoking. And I was like, man, what if I could give up smoking for 40 days? Then I could actually stop smoking forever, probably. So I told Josh, I was like, okay, I think I want to give up smoking for Lent. And he was like, okay. And then when we got home, he was like, I'm going to give up smoking with you. And I was like, you don't have to do that. And he's like, yeah, but there's no way you're going to quit smoking if I don't quit smoking, because we both smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day.
Can I interrupt you super fast, just emphasize something?
You like doing that, don't you?
I do. I'm sorry. I'm probably going to do more of that, so I'm sorry. But
okay.
Did you notice that God was doing something in Amanda's life, and Josh decided, I'm going to change to help my wife do what God's calling her to do?
Yeah.
Josh is amazing for a lot of reasons, but that's an amazing thing to say, I'm going to change to help you do what God wants you to do. So, sorry to interrupt. Yeah,
that's okay. So, to do this, it was difficult, and to get through every day of not smoking, I had this little white Bible that I was given. It was, you know, the little King James version, like the little white leather Bible. So anyways, it's perfect size to fit in my scrubs, and like every time I'd need a cigarette, I would just still take that smoke break, and I'd go outside and I'd flip open the Bible to Psalms or the Proverbs, and I'd read in that, and then that would also get me intrigued as into, like, I never knew it said that in the Bible, and so then I would go home and I'd actually look it up, you know. But I don't suggest quitting everything at once. Like, you know, if you smoke, you smoke when you wake up, when you drink coffee in the morning, when you read the paper, after every single meal. And then if you smoke, you normally get a lot of work breaks if you do a lot of work and then hurry up and smoke. So, what else?
So you took all those times that you would have smoked,
mm-hmm.
and you started reading the Bible, started connecting with God.
Yes.
Over coffee and things like that. That's cool. So you opened up. So you're empty of smoking, and you probably assumed, oh, that's going to be good for my health. But it probably was good for your soul at the same time, you know, because you're opening up to God. But what was another thing, another benefit that came out of this?
Oh, yes. Okay. So when you quit smoking, then, let's see, cigarettes back then were like $4 and something a pack. We were both smoking 2 packs a day. That's like times 8. So it was about $20 a day. We would save that money and put it aside. And then at the next year in February, we bought a new car. Yeah. This is my new car. It's Yeah, so this is my first car that that had air conditioning. It started every time. You didn't have to pop. Yeah. My car before this, I had to actually pop the hood and tap the starter to be able to go anywhere. And then just promise to people I didn't steal it. So.
You look pretty happy in this picture on the left.
Yes, and this is a picture of me actually driving my car, and I promise I was never that happy smoking cigarettes.
Okay, very cool. So first year of Lent goes really, really well. What did you do the next year?
So the next year for Lent, this is actually a pretty cool thing, like giving things up. You think that you're giving this, like I'm giving this to God, and you know, I'm doing this amazing thing, but what ends up happening is, like, you're helping yourself. Like, really, like, I haven't smoked for, gosh, like, 7 years now? Yeah, 7 years. That's a long time. Like, you know what I mean? And, yeah, so the next time, we had just bought this new house in Independence, like, right down the street from the church, and we had this really big, like, old-school flat-screen TV, you know? It, like, yeah, right there. It was, like, pretty much, like, our whole living room. Like, the living room's kind of small in this house. So we were like, man, what if we gave up watching TV for Lent? We could save up our money and maybe buy a new TV. So I actually gave this TV and that car that you saw to my mom. So she really benefits from Lent. And so we did that for 40 days, and during that time, instead of actually watching TV, we would spend that time that you normally would watching TV reading our Bibles. And again, this was a great thing because Josh had just quit the tattoo shop, and we had just bought a new house, you know, so we needed guidance. We needed to know where God was calling us, and was this the right thing, and all these different things. So we didn't really find that answer in 40 days. So, of course, again, we continued the Lent process, and this is almost through a year. Then we finally saved up enough money to buy a cool TV that actually, like, went on the wall, and we have a lot more room in our house now.
Okay, so overachieving, again, with Lent. We went kind of a whole year, but that's a good thing, you know, like, and it you opened up all that space, that time. And even now, you know, you have a TV, but do you watch as much TV as you used to before?
I don't watch that much TV. Yeah, I mean, you have a choice whether to watch TV or read your Bible. And what's helping me through my life every day now is actually staying in the Word and just being able to draw strength from God. I just need that right now in my life.
Yeah, and I think that's something you'll find if you start voluntarily letting go of some stuff, even just for a little while, it'll bring it into more of a balance in your life. Like, you get more self-control with it, and it doesn't gobble up as much of your time. So that's another benefit. So fast forward us all the way now to this year. What are you doing this year?
Okay, this year. So each year it progresses. It gets a little bit harder, that's for sure. So this year I am getting up an hour and a half earlier than I do that I need to in my day to spend that time with the Lord. So some mornings that's 4:30. Like this morning that was 5:30. 5:30 on a Sunday is outrageous. So just saying, yeah. Being a little honest, like, the first week is a little rough. Hopefully it gets easier.
So what are you doing with that extra time?
Well, the extra time I spend, first thing when I get up, I have a couple cups of coffee and kind of get around, and that's usually about the first 30 minutes, kind of getting into the routine. The next 20 minutes, I pray, and I have a prayer list of the people that I need to pray for and that are on my heart. And then the next 20 minutes I spend in the Word. And don't get me wrong, I always spend time in the Word, but it's been lately, I do two groups, Sunday group and also Wednesday group. And during those times, I mean, that is like, it almost seems like work. Like, I mean, I need to be prepared for class. And so I need to read the Gospel of John. And then I'm also doing themes of suffering and obedience and different things. But it seems like work. It doesn't seem like devoted time to God. Like, I can just go wherever God's calling me to go in the Bible. And that's what that 20 minutes is. It's just doing.
I'm going to interrupt again. Sorry.
Do it all the time.
I know. I'm not fun to hang out with. Sorry. You can.
All right.
So I do want to emphasize this, too. If you're teaching a class or teaching a small group here, this is a trap that a lot of people fall into. Mm-hmm. They start preparing for their class, and that takes a lot of time. And suddenly, you're no longer spending time just you and God. And that's not good for your relationship with God. So Amanda's saying that 20-minute chunk in the morning, that's just her and God. She can prepare for the lessons different time of the day. So first half hour is waking up. Next 20 minutes is praying for people that need prayer, kind of giving that over to God. Then 20 minutes of in the Bible, reading. Mm-hmm. What's the last 20 minutes?
The last 20 minutes is just meditation time. And if you'll flip my thing. Okay, so this is a beautiful stained glass shadow box that I have at my house. And it sits right in front of the kitchen table where I actually do my devotions in the morning. And what this is to me, this is just a beautiful stained glass. I actually found out for this sermon, I looked it up and stuff, that it's actually the Praying Guadalupe. And it's actually a Spanish version of the Virgin Mary. So not that I pray to this, because it never was like a symbol for me before. It's just beautiful, as in the devotion of the praying woman. And what it does is it's a shadow box that actually Josh made, and it has a light that lights up in the back of it. So for that 20 minutes, I turn out all the lights because it's very dark at 4:30 in the morning, in case you guys don't know. So I turn that on, and it just like illuminates my living room and dining room area. And I can just sit there, just Indian style, with my hands up, and just meditate. And what it does is it helps me stay focused, because as soon as I open my eyes, I see this beautiful, devoted woman just praying. And when I don't do this, I see all the dust and the laundry that needs to be done and all these different things that does not help me with 20 minutes of solid time, of quiet time.
So 20 minutes of meditation, so you're sitting in a style kind of relaxed. Mm-hmm. You're using this as just like a, you're not praying to it, but you're helping keep your mind on track, listening to God.
It's hard being quiet.
But yeah, that's what I was going to say. So like, you're just listening. Like you're not you're not asking prayer. God for stuff right then.
Okay. No, that time is, that's why I do the prayer before. I actually read the word and then I'm just quiet. And that's hard. And that's why I had to have something that when I do open my eyes, it gets me right back focused instead of, you know, going off and doing something. Oh, I'll come right back. And that doesn't happen. So you have to actually be intentional. I think that's the whole part of this. The whole part of Lent is being intentional of doing something that you don't want to do for Jesus.
Wow, that's a good definition. So being intentional about something you don't want to do for Jesus. Okay.
Yeah. And I love sleep. I love sleep.
Yeah, that's understandable. Probably, and sleep is a good thing.
Probably why this was put on my heart. Yeah, I probably love it too much.
And so when you're listening to God for a long period of time, what happens? I mean, is it God speaking to you every morning? Or like what's happening in those 20 minutes? Because I think a lot of people in the room probably haven't ever had an experience like that where I'm just going to try to listen to God for 20 minutes. So what is that like?
Yeah, I wish I could say this amazing, incredible thing that he says to me every morning, but it doesn't happen. It's quiet. But what I get from it is I haven't yet gotten that guidance or what I'm supposed to do, but I have this amazing peace and serenity that just comes over me, and I can do what the day has for me. You know, there's a lot of times that I leave my house and you have no idea how your day is going to be or what's going to happen, and God just puts people in your line, just in your line, and then I just have enough strength, because it's hard for me to have strength for myself right now, let alone for other people. And that's the thing, is I've been called to help people. I've been called to be there for other people, and I can't do that without God, and I know that.
So I don't want anybody in the whole room to miss what Amanda's telling us today. So I was just talking to a lady earlier this week who's going through something hard, and who was leaning on Amanda in the midst of her crisis. If you know Amanda and all she's been through this year, I mean, it's miraculous that Amanda is this rock that she's, like she said, not, she's able to handle everything in her life and even able to help others. And people have asked me, like, how is Amanda doing that? And it's really simple. Like, she's given us, like, her trade secrets of, like, every morning she's getting up and spending time with God. And that 20 minutes of listening after, you know, 20 minutes of asking, 20 minutes of reading the Bible, but then that 20 minutes of listening, God's presence might not sound like a big payoff, but I think that's the strength that Amanda has to face each day. It's like, because she's been filled up, just like Jesus was filled, she's been filled with God, and then she's able to face the day and the challenges of each day. So Amanda's given us a lot of big tips here today. Just like Bob was talking about down in Sunday school class, though, you don't always necessarily start at the top. You know, Amanda started doing Lent back in 2009, and she's had a lot of practice with it. This series, what we're trying to get you guys to do is every week, just do an experiment. Just try something for the week, and then we'll come back together and we'll talk about a new experiment each week. And I know some of you might feel like this lady on the left here, that you've got so much baggage, and maybe some of it is really negative, but maybe some of it's just responsibilities and stuff in your life, but it's so high that you don't have any hands free, and you can't even see up ahead of you. And what we're asking you to do is, are you willing to set some of those bags down and open up to God in a new way? And there's lots of practical things you could do. Like Amanda said, maybe there's a bad habit. Like Amanda smoked, and it wasn't good for her, so she got rid of that habit. Maybe there's a bad habit you have. You're saying, I want to get rid of that. I'm going to open that time up to God. I'm not just going to try to stop on my own. I'm going to open that up to God. Or, like her second thing, she talked about TV. It's not always evil or always bad. But Amanda said, what would life be like without TV? And for you, I don't know what your favorite electronic is, but what if you went a week without that electronic? Would your life really end? Or maybe you'd discover something new with God. I've got little sheets of paper on either side of the stage you're welcome to take if you want, or they're on our Facebook page too. It's about this really sweet lady. She wrote the Christie book series, if you've ever read that. She decided just for one day to not say anything critical. That sounds like really small. It's just one day. But she had this major breakthrough with God. She realized no one misses my critical statements when I stop saying them. But then, in the second half of the day, she had this breakthrough being really creative with God about a problem relationship she had. So if you want to read about her story, or a guy in my small group was telling me about earlier this week, him and his wife and the two kids, they just don't use electronics one day a week. And so they are empty of, you know, social media or whatever other random junk, but they're full of quality time with each other that night. So we're not actually pushing you for a specific thing this week. We're just wanting to kind of open up the doors and say, what do you want to do? What's one thing that you could set down for this week and open up to God? And, Amanda, I know there's a particular group of people that you have a heart for here in the room. You had kind of a message for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just think about when I first came to Maywood 8 years ago, and I just walked in here and sat down, and, of course, I was in the back pew. And, man, I was just broken. And I was hopeless and I was scared. And I knew nothing about Jesus and I knew nothing about what he did for us. And, you know, what I learned is that Jesus came into this world, humbled himself as a baby. He grew up in poverty. He was hated most his life and pretty much told he was a nobody and that he wasn't who he was. And that resonated with me. And, man, I just know that there's people here that are in that same position that they don't know who Jesus is, but they know that whatever is going on in their life right then has to change. And I think that what if you stop and think about it and just close your eyes and ask God, God, what do you want from me? What can I give you? And he'll put his finger on something that you need to change in your life and that you need to do. And he's going to give you the strength to do that. And I'm going to be down front here, and I'd love to pray with you. If you don't know how that works or if you don't know what that next step is, man, just come down. We'll talk you through it. There'll be another group of people down here, too, to help you do that. And there's a better way.
Yeah, no, that is totally true. Today, we're finishing up our service with our response time. It means what it says. It's the time to respond. It's the time to make the choice for you of what you're going to do. We've got these little notepads in the pew in front of you. Grab one and write it down and say, I'm going to unplug my TV, or I'm going to have a no electronics night, or I'm going to quit doing X, Y, or Z. I'm going to open up to God. So make the decision today, because otherwise it'll be next Sunday and you'll think, oh, yeah, I forgot. Forgot to do that. So make your decision during this time. Let me pray. God, I thank you that just like Amanda said, Jesus, you love us. And Jesus, you are willing to go through so much to reach out to us. God, help us today to let go of something so we can open up to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.